Derek, you know what? I've always wanted to start the podcast like this.
Do I need to leave the room?
No. Because, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Section 328 is proud to bring to you the World Tag Team Champions of the World, the Road Dog, Mike Flanagan, the smart-ass Derek Wrestler. We are the new Pod Outlaws.
And if you ain't down with that, we've got two words for you.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Feels good, Mike.
It's opening weekend, Derek.
It's opening eve.
Yes.
For us now, it's opening day for a lot of people listening to the podcast. It's supposed to be a beautiful day in Raleigh, and it's so damn good to get to watch our Hurricanes in person.
Yes, welcome to this week's episode of Cheaters Never Win. You get to enjoy all of our enthusiasm, not only for the amazing show we have planned for you tonight, but for everything that is due to happen in the next 24 hours, which hopefully includes just giving it to the New York Rangers.
And if I can play the social host here, because that's usually your role, so I would like to do that here. Hopefully meeting a lot of you at our tailgate.
Absolutely.
Whether we've met you before or we'll be meeting you for the first time, we'd love to say hello.
Yes, 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 yes. We got to say hello to a new friend a little bit earlier this evening, Derek.
Go on.
Tonight's guest, none other than the Hall of Fame voice.
What?
The Hall. Okay, so
you're saying this out loud. Like, that conversation actually happened. We received a phone call from a Hockey Hall of Famer tonight.
Yes, right. The Hockey Hall of Famer, Chuck Caton, the voice of the York Carolina Hurricanes, the man who made the phrase "over the crossbar," part of the Hurricanes vernacular. Joined us on the podcast tonight, and it was such a joy for us, and we're not going to lie, to say that there might have been just a hint of nerves in the studio.
I don't remember the last time that I was nervous for an interview on this podcast.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where we've had a chance to talk to John a couple of times, and John Forslund, huge name and somebody we both admire greatly. But we've had a chance to get to know John. We've had a few hours worth of conversations with John at this point. But this was, you know, this was the guy who has been the voice of hockey in my head ever since he basically evicted Mike Lang.
Yes.
Yeah. So we've got that to look forward to this evening. We've got a couple of games in the last week to talk about with the Detroit Red Wings and the Philadelphia Flyers. Yes, Derek, your hand is raised.
Yes, question from this mic, sir. Okay. Do we have to talk about the Detroit game?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Shit.
We've also got to talk about the Philadelphia game.
I did not watch that game.
You?
I was watching another team that I love blow a lead to a team in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, yeah. It was a rough Saturday in the wrestler household.
Yeah, the Keystone State can eat it raw.
Two words for you. Yeah. I did the D-Generation X chop. You guys who are listening can't see that. You're probably all better off for it.
Yeah, it's absolutely for the best.
So we've got all of that. We've got the weekend tilts to talk about. We were going to talk about the Rags and the Flyers who are coming back to town. And God, I hope we get to see a world championship match between Brian Bickle and Wayne Simmons.
Could be fun.
We're also going to share all the details of what will be today's tailgate by the time you're listening to this podcast. And again, hope that you come out and join us. So, Derek, normally this is the part where I would say, would you do me a favor? But you know what? You've been doing me favors for 4 years. You know what? I'll hit that damn X button.
You're a good man.
Welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, another fine product of Section328.com. Here you'll find all the Hurricanes hockey talk, adult beverage reviews, and snark a growing body needs. Follow us on Twitter at @Section_328. Respect the underscore. And now back to Derek and Mike.
Yes, and this week's episode of the podcast, Derek, has a new sponsor.
Ooh, who dat?
Yes, the good friends at SeatGeek. Via our friends over at Sport Channel 8, are going to become the official sponsor of the Section 328 Cheaters Never Win podcast. So we would like to welcome SeatGeek to the family. And while we're still working out a few of the contractual details, we will have some SeatGeek codes that you will be able to redeem throughout the season to get discounts on buying tickets through for the Carolina Hurricanes or whatever your favorite local sporting event would be.
Or so the Germans would have us believe.
Oh, yeah. Das Seat Geek. We probably won't be able to do things like that once they're like, you know, they send us print and stuff.
No, I remember years ago back when the sports guy was an interesting columnist on ESPN page two.
Ooh, page two.
The old yellow page. And he talked about how he was doing color commentary for two innings of the Colorado Rockies minor league affiliate. And they said, would you like to help us read this piece of copy for a sponsor? He goes, yeah, absolutely, sure. So the play-by-play guy read the spot for La Quinta, to which Bill Simmons chimes in, La Quinta, Spanish for next to Denny's. And allegedly the play-by-play guy put his hand over the mic and said, we never insult or joke about our sponsors. Ooh. And he was not allowed back.
Oh, imagine that. Bill Simmons was kicked out of ESPN and not allowed back. Gosh, it's going to be a fun episode tonight, Derek.
I hope.
So before we get to Chuck, because otherwise people will just get to this portion of the podcast and skip the last 30 minutes. So let's talk about what happened as we concluded the road trip. The Philadelphia game started out okay.
I'm going to have to lean heavily on you because I didn't go back and watch that game. I just kept track of the box score, but that doesn't tell anywhere near the story of what I imagine was a lot of despair.
It was a lot of despair. It was a difficult game to watch because really Jake Voracek and the Ghost Bear just did things. That Philadelphia team is going to be a fun team to watch this year. A young and up-and-coming team. Konechny definitely doing some things. Another one of the new young guys. The Canes were just getting beat to pucks. They were getting outskated. They just didn't have the legs. And I think Bill Peters said it after the game. He said, you know, I feel like the guys just kind of got worn out in the second and third period. And it's good to be going back to home. And they came home to Raleigh and we all rejoiced. Yay. I actually was considering, had the Canes pulled out a win there, saying, you know what, let's
were you going to go old school?
We were going to go old school, go to the airport to welcome the team back. The guys didn't put forth an effort. So I said, hell with the effort as well, and went to bed.
Yeah, I don't think you really need to welcome them home after, I think it was, what, a 6-3 loss?
Yeah, that was tough. Nah. I mean, if it were like a, you know, if they had put together a bunch of effort and somebody had gotten hurt or something, but nah. So the boys came back, got a couple of days of rest. Jeff Skinner miraculously got a middle body injury.
So he was on a video today with Chip Alexander, right?
Yes.
Said a middle body injury was anything between the chin and the shin?
Yes, somewhere between the chin and the shins. And we have it on, he did not deny that it was not an infected belly button piercing. So we would like to just encourage all of our listeners, when you are choosing a belly button piercing artist, to be very careful that they are clean and it does not get infected.
Yeah.
Because then your favorite hockey team may lose, you know, the luster that is its young goal scoring leader.
So where does upper body, middle body?
Middle body starts and stops kind of at the belly button, right? I mean, that is middle body.
It is middle body, but
I mean, unless you're just really weirdly shaped. Like if you have really long legs, or like me, I'm all torso, no legs. So belly button for me is almost a lower body injury.
What if you were former Atlanta Hawk Kevin Willis and had little T-Rex arms? Does that change things?
No,
but okay, so middle body. I can't think of anything that would be middle versus upper versus lower. And what team doctor or what PR guy makes that distinction between here's what we're going to say? Because, you know, my thinking is, okay, middle body, that it's not high enough to be a bruised or broken rib. It's probably, you know, further north than a groin injury. So what, a sports hernia or something like that? And then why doesn't that classify as upper body?
You know what, I actually put some thought to this, Derek, and I think the reason it was Bill Peters who specifically said middle body, and again, Jeff was kind of joking about it in his locker room video today. I think the reason they do not want to say upper body, because the minute you say Jeff Skinner has an upper body injury,
you think Nugget.
You immediately think, oh my gosh, is Jeff about to go into the concussion protocol again? So
that's a good thought, Mike.
I think it was one of those things where the coach was erring on the side of, let's let the fans know that it's not his head. We won't say what it is. I think you're right. You know, maybe it's some type of sports hernia. It could be an oblique injury, because he played fairly decently in that Philadelphia game. There was a tussle at the end of the game where he kind of got caught up with Wayne Simmonds. And
how many players across the NHL, and I'm not going to name names because some of them we're not talking about on this podcast anymore, but if you named players around this league and you said they have a middle body injury, how many jokes would it be about, man, I told you they didn't have any heart?
Oh.
I mean, you're hearing the names right now.
There was that one guy last year, though, for Philadelphia who had, what was it, a displaced pelvic bone or something.
Was it Andy McDonough or Mark Strait?
Yeah, it was one of those guys. They had a ruptured pubic bone or something. Yeah. I don't know, but it sounded like the worst injury ever. I hope Jeff doesn't have that.
Here's hoping.
Yes, yes. And sending all of the good thoughts to Jeff Skinner's pubic region. There you go, guys.
Let's move.
That's what happens when you have a middle body injury. We went from piercings to pubic regions.
You hear it all on the Cheaters Never Win podcast.
That's what happens when you do the Degeneration X opening.
So, Mike, I will say, good thing that wasn't brought up on Pirate Radio 1250 today.
Yes.
You may not have been welcome back.
I may not have been welcome back. And if the Hurricanes lose two more over the weekend, I may not be welcome back after the words I say next week. And we got to get you on Pirate Radio at some point, too.
You're doing such a damn good job. I don't want to ruin things because... You know, what'll happen is I'll go on and I'll try to follow the great precedent you've set, and I won't do as good of a job, and they'll either say, one, hey, we really want Mike back, or two, it's been nice, guys.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, there's nowhere else to go from there. So the Philadelphia game is what it is. I was hopeful that the team was going to come back and, Bill Peters shuffled the lineup a little bit as we went to Detroit. The Carolina Hurricanes' last regular season game in the Joe. And if the broadcast team did not just hammer that enough, jeez, oh, Pete, get off the... I just felt like, okay, guys, I am enough. You know, Kyle Hanlon took the picture. It was really sweet. Yada, yada, yada. It's where Bill Peters learned, you know, coach under Babcock. Yada, yada, yada.
Did you know that Jerome Bettis was born in Detroit?
Really?
Yeah. Also, Tim Tebow could have voted for himself for the Heisman. And you may want to have a seat for this. Rumor was, when he was in college, Tyler Hansbrough played hard.
Tyler Hansbrough, also a mouth breather.
Well, yeah.
But, it was just, they beat the living death out of that. You know what's great about the podcast, though? Literally jumped out of my skin when Mike Maniscalco and that just beautiful big boy haircut that he's got himself.
I know, look at him.
Again, congratulations to friend of the podcast and friend of the section, Mike Maniscalco, who made his Fox Sports Carolina hosting debut against the Detroit Red Wings and did a great job. Almost got hit by the Zamboni, which I think is kind of par for the course when you're Joe.
I think it's hazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's your first game. Let's try to run you over with a large piece of machinery.
You know, with blades at the bottom, and that'll be a fun time. And
blades of steel.
I know I was really happy to see Mike back. I still am very glad that he's back. But my beautiful bride was even happier to see Mike Maniscalco talking Carolina Hurricanes hockey again.
And
so,
he did a great job. Did a great job on the broadcast. And really looking forward to seeing him and Shane on the desk tomorrow night. Maybe even more importantly, looking forward to seeing us in the background just we're going to call it right now.
We're making plans for it, Mike, but, you know, plans could change.
We're dropping a glorious bomb tomorrow night.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I like that idea.
Yeah. Now we just got to figure out a way to get Bobby Roode's music on Fox Sports Carolinas. It can happen. It could happen. For all of our friends who listen to the podcast but don't get wrestling references, we apologize for the first 15 minutes of this podcast. We promise to try to do better during the second half. Mm-hmm. But the Detroit game happened. Mike Maniscalco was really good. The team came out and was just flat. They just were getting beat to every single puck. They were getting the losing the boar battles. You know, I think Nesty said it best, and just like, we can't play like that after that first period. We can't continue to get beat. We're just not playing our game. The team came back and played a much better second period, and then FERC happened.
Yeah, which I know you were really happy about. And
You know, I'm just going to say it right now. I haven't had a chance to rant against a player yet.
Ooh.
And he's one of those guys that I wanted to be good, right? You know, he's got a cool name, and everyone's, oh, he's got this great shot, but his skating's bad. Oh, no, his skating's much better. Detroit, no one ever wanted to waive him. He was going to be such a part of our future. Marty Ferk, he's going to be so good, and that's what Ron Francis does. He picks up guys who are marginally good, and we make them great, and they're awesome, and we love them. Ferk.
Yeah? Ferk?
He got deked out. I literally thought it was me playing you in NHL 16,
ooh,
biting on that little deke move you do, uh-huh, at the blue line. I mean, he literally was like, oh, what? Oh, the puck's ever. Oh, the puck's behind Cam Ward now? Jesus Christ, Marty. We were going to do a shirt that said, Ferk's out for Harambe. It was a limited edition, one time, 24 hour special edition, Ferk's out for Harambe shirt. Or maybe we also had a queued up another shirt that said, Ferk's come out at night. You know, we had all of these great ideas for you.
Well,
and you
at
know
least
what?
Two.
I had more. And now I just wish you were in Charlotte. And I wish Brock McGinn, our client, Brock McGinn, were back up with this team. Because you were fucking dead to me.
Yeah, it was so bad. And I appreciate the way you glossed over that first period. Because allowing 3 goals on 8 shots was just really, really bad on Cam Ward. It was really, really bad on our team defense. And, you know, it was kind of cute to see Cam go all number 30 in net and smash his stick against the goalpost. And then, 30, 45 seconds later, take a delay of game penalty by batting the puck out of midair.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we don't need to do this now because we went over Cam Ward just a little bit in last week's podcast. But my big thing about this is we know who Cam Ward is at this point. We know what we have in him. We know his ceiling is, if you want to be overly optimistic, his ceiling is average NHL goaltender. His floor is about where he is now, which is horrible NHL backup. With Eddie Lack, his ceiling is higher and his floor is higher, and we don't exactly know what we have in him because every time Eddie Lack has gotten one poor game, he's out. Cam Ward is given the benefit of the doubt because of things he did 10 years ago, not the player he is today. So why not see exactly what we have in Eddie Lack before we just start rotating them in and out based on who played worse?
Well, I'll tell you what we do have. We have suboptimal goaltending.
Oh, that's for damn sure.
This team needed to be, I believe, top 16 in the league in goaltending to qualify for the playoffs. And right now, I believe we are 29th out of 30 teams.
No, that's actually too high. We are 30th out of 30 in save percentage.
Okay. Is that the fanciest stat? Is there a fancier stat we could call Oliver and see if maybe we are 31st in?
Possibly.
Okay.
Fan happiness with goal? Oh, Toronto might have us there.
Yeah. Yeah, remember when we said, hey, let's go get Frederick Anderson? Yes.
Whoops.
Yeah, scratch that. We don't want anything to do with that. Five years, what, $25, $26 million, and he's... Ooh.
Hot garbage.
Yes, hot garbage. But we made it through.
We did.
The boys came back. I was going to do this rant later, Derek, but that guy right there, that print... That is hanging on my wall.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who recently signed to Section 328. Thanks for all your support. Number 27, Justin Falk.
Mm-hmm.
Justin.
Do I need to get a seatbelt for this one? Or
Justin. We've seen this horror movie before. There's been multiple seasons where you've had problems, you've come to camp, and you haven't played great to start the season. We've seen this. You are now 24, 25 years old. This is not your first rodeo as a Carolina Hurricane. You are actually looked to as not only a leader on this team, but as a potential leader amongst USA Hockey in the future. You wear a letter on your sweater. Many fans, including us, have discussed the possibility of you being the future captain of this Carolina Hurricanes franchise team. Franchise team? Yes, franchise
both.
Team. And, I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated, Justin.
What are you frustrated about, Mike?
That while he, I believe he has 5 points on the season, five points through six games, it's just good. I mean, that puts him on a pace to be like a 70-point defenseman. That would not suck at all. But what I would like to see is I would like to see the leader of this defense play defense. Justin Faulk has looked off throughout the start of this season. Now, before I go like full Elias Lindholm that I did last season and just lose my godforsaken mind.
On the other hand, it worked.
It did work for a small series of games. Justin was hurt in the preseason. Justin was hurt at the end of last season. I don't know if this is rust he's knocking off. I don't know if this is game shape that he's getting back into. It just seems to be he is making some just mentally deficient decisions when he has the puck and when he is off the puck. And Justin, I implore you, whatever is wrong, fix it. Whatever's going on in your head that is not focused on this game that we know you love and enjoy, correct it. Come back to us, Justin. We love you. We do not want to turn on you. We want to be supportive of you.
And it sounds like, I mean, if he just needs a good hug, I mean, he can come to you, right?
I'm an excellent hugger.
You are.
I am an excellent hugger.
Sources.
But we love you, Justin. Come back to us. Don't make us turn on you, because we will. You saw what happened to Degeneration X? They turned on Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, it was a damn shame.
Don't make us make you the heartbreak kid.
I'm picturing you as Dr. Evil looking at Mini-Me with that just sullen look on his face. It's like, come here. Come on. Justin wants a hug. Justin wants a hug.
A hug. Please, Justin. God, come out tomorrow night. Play your game. Move the puck. Move your feet.
Yes.
And don't get stuck out of position. Play strong, positional, defensive hockey. Be the MF and man that we know you are on the power play. Get your points and then take those points and put them in a bucket. And at the end of the game, take two of them and put them on the standings board, because those are the points that we really need right now. I don't care if we're winning games 5-4 or 1-0. We just need to start getting 2 points per game for the next couple of games, because what I fear is if we continue down this downward slope is that we are going to lose any and all momentum we may gain out of the goodwill we got at the end of last season by playing very well for the local fans, and our attendance may begin to suffer, particularly through the beginning of ACC basketball season.
We certainly don't want that. And that was a much kinder rant than I was expecting.
As I sit here and I look at him and I'm like, Justin, and you're right, I kind of want to hug him and I want to, whatever it is, feel better and come on, let's go. And then as he turns around to walk away, I literally want to kick him in the ass and like, come on, bitch, let's do this.
that took a bit of a turn.
Yes, it did. I could do that though. I could also sick Brian Bickle on him.
Yeah, we don't want that.
No, nobody wants a piece of Brian Bickle, particularly not Brian Bickle. Fat ass. Bickle's been kind of quiet the last couple of games, too. Where you been, Bix?
I don't know.
Park your fat ass back in front of the net. Do what I tell you to do, which is park in front of the net. Bill Peters says go somewhere else. Tell him, no, I'm Brian Bickle.
not coach. I'm good.
No, coach. I'm good. I'm going to park my ass right here because the guys in section 328 think I could bounce pucks off my fat ass and into the net, and I'm gonna be able to get that next contract as opposed to, you know, taking my $4.5 million that I'm getting this season and have to sign for the league minimum somewhere next year and try to prove my worth. No. Go in front of the net. Bounce pucks off your ass. Get 15 power play goals this season and another, you know, 12 or 13 goals. Get 27 goals, 50-some points. Be the Brian Bickle we know you can be. Done.
Can we put either a kickstand or an e-brake on Brian Bickle?
I don't know if Brian Bickle has a kickstand or not, but that's probably another...
You know, just kind of turn his skates towards the sidewalk, so if he starts to roll away from the net, he just doesn't move.
I love it. Oh, gosh. As you can tell, we are passionate about this club. We are excited for where this club is going to go. And part of this may be still kind of the euphoria from the guests we spoke to just a little bit earlier. And, folks, we could not be more pleased to welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast the Hall of Fame voice of your Carolina Hurricanes, none other than Chuck Caton. Chuck, how are you this evening, sir?
Excellent. How's it going, guys?
We are phenomenal. On the eve here of the Carolina Hurricanes finally returning to the ice here at the PNC Arena, it was a long and tough road trip, Chuck. And I'd like to get it for someone who was around the team for those 6 days. What's the feeling amongst the guys on the team, in the airplane, and in the locker room? And how is just the general morale of the team coming back home?
Well, you know, they're not very pleased with the results, and they have only themselves to blame because they played very inconsistent hockey. They haven't put a 60-minute game together yet, and that's certainly something the coaching staff and the players expect of themselves. And Bill Peters basically said today that they've got to fix a lot of things. They've been too reckless in scoring opportunities offensively. They haven't spent enough time in the offensive zone of the opponent. And despite the fact that they've had a number of multiple goal leads on that road trip, starting from Winnipeg to Vancouver, and obviously the games since then, Philadelphia with a 2-0 lead, you just can't play, give up those kind of leads in this league. And then you can't expect to come back on the other hand either, where they got behind in Edmonton and tried to make a gallant comeback. They did hold on to a 3-0 lead in Calgary and got their lone win. And they had a 2-0 lead in Philadelphia that they let get away. So, you know, it seems to be problematic around the NHL, though, guys. There's a lot of teams that are blowing 2-goal leads and 3-goal leads. Boston last night with the New York Rangers, to name one. It's happened a lot of different times with teams that have struggled. And I think that's the difference between winning and losing in the NHL today.
Yeah, there's certainly been a lot more goal scoring. And to your point of what Bill Peters was saying about the team maybe being a little reckless, and with all the goals around the league, do you see perhaps this Canes team and maybe some other teams around the league slowing things down a little bit and being a little bit more deliberate as opposed to trying to outscore their opponents?
Well, you know, it's not a matter of trying to outscore them. I think what's happened with the Hurricanes is they were a much better defensive team last year. They were building over the last couple of years under Bill Peters' regime as a very solid defensive team, and they were very good that way last year. And I think that this year it's gone awry a little bit, and they haven't gotten the greatest goaltending either from Cam Ward or Eddie Lack. They have not played up to their potential. Any time your save percentage is under 90, you've got a concern. And, of course, that's not just the goaltender. You have to watch each individual game and see how goals are scored. It's also defensive play, how many quality chances the goaltender. But the Hurricanes haven't gotten the big save as much as they've needed it in the first 6 games, and that hopefully will change with the New York Ranger game on Friday.
Yeah, we're really hoping to see a solid support net. And Chuck, as someone who's been around this game for a while, I'd love to get your opinion. Our good friend of the podcast, Jeff Merrick, actually made an interesting commentary that maybe what we're seeing this year with the goals against being up really more than a goal a game this season, do you feel that potentially could be systematic of how the National Hockey League is changing, in effect that it's becoming more of a young man's game? We're seeing more and more young players and rookies start their career in the National Hockey League versus maybe get some of that seasoning down in the minors and in the AHL. And while that leads to a lot of creativity and a lot of speed and a lot of newness, that also leads to a lot more hockey mistakes. And it seems like it is those mistakes that are not only on our team, but around the National Hockey League ending up in the back of the net.
Yeah, you know, I think that there's part logic there. I think that that's not the whole picture, though. You know, the game is getting quicker and quicker, and the younger legs and the inexperience of players leading to mistakes. But I also saw years ago where a lot of young players made an impact on the NHL, and it was a different game, obviously, about 25 or 30 years ago. But when you had, say, Ron Francis break into the league, or people like Dale Hawerchuk or Steve Yzerman or Denny Savard, all of those Hall of Fame names, they all came in as 18-year-olds and, you know, were much more responsible players in a two-way vein for the most part, and they were very exciting offensive players at the same time. I don't think today's player right now, there's a lot of talent. You know, you look at Patrick Laine, who was a natural goal scorer in Winnipeg. You look, obviously, at Connor McDavid, who came into the league last year, who was a very dynamic player. But I really don't think there is as many real quality 18-year-olds cracking the NHL today. So, you know, I don't know if you can use that as much of an excuse for, you know, the lack of or the more goal scoring. I think that the World Cup of Hockey had a little bit to do with it, too, because a lot of the coaches that were there were not with their teams at training camp. And I know Bill Peters and I talked about this today. In fact, you look at some of the teams that are struggling right now. You look at Dave Tippett, who was part of the coaching staff at the World Cup of Hockey. And then you look at people like Paul Maurice. You look at Bill Peters, you look at Mike Babcock, even Barry Trotz. The Washington Capitals are not off to the start they were last year. Do you blame that a little bit about the coach not cracking the whip early in training camp and setting the tone? Maybe that's got a little bit to do with it, too.
So, you know, we're coming back from this road trip and not the best result. And the pessimist in all of us and fans could say, well, you know, this team is giving up too many goals. A practical fan could say, well, we're not even a tenth away into the season. But there are some positives to take from this. So if you could tell the fans, what's the biggest positive with this Carolina Hurricanes team out of the first six games?
Well, what I like is the play of some of the younger players and the emergence of Victor Rask being a consistent performer. He's gotten better and better every year, and he's the team's number one centerman right now, and he's playing a responsible two-way game. He's an excellent face-off guy. I really think I've liked the slants of Sebastian Aho for a kid that's only played a half dozen NHL games. He looks the part of a very responsible, good two-way player with a lot of skill. I like the addition of Teuvo Teravainen to this hockey club, and obviously with the defense, Jacob Slavin picking up where he left off last year defensively. I think Justin Faulks played well. Brett Pesce has played well in his sophomore season. So those are the real bright spots for me. I like what I've seen out of the younger players. Now, Elias Lindholm only has one scoring point. It was an assist on a 5-on-3 goal by Jeff Skinner in Calgary. But he has done a very good job, you know, in the stats that you don't see number-wise. He's been pretty good defensively. He's won face-offs, and he's played with much more intensity that you would expect from a fifth pick overall. And he's been in the league now going on his fourth season now. So, you know, a lot of bright spots that way. But, you know, the bright spots are there, but you have to convert them into wins, because that's basically all that matters in pro sports.
Yeah, and Chuck, we're excited, and we know the team's excited to be back on home ice here at PNC Arena tomorrow night. And folks, if you have not yet picked up your tickets, there are still tickets still available. So join us out there at PNC Arena. Chuck, I don't think we'd be doing our listeners any favors if we didn't maybe come away from tomorrow night's game and chat a little bit about some of the history and you know, someone who's been around this franchise for so long. And Derek and I were talking before, and we'd love to know, there's been a lot of Hurricanes that have moved on from the team and have now become broadcasters. We'd love to know who among all of the former Canes who are now part of your kind of compatriots on the media side, who amongst that group surprises you most and why?
Oh, that's a good question. You have to give me some of the other names of some of these guys, because really Ray Ferraro from the Whaler days is a guy that I guess I wasn't surprised. I guess the guy, most surprising guy to me is Jeff O'Neill, because I'd walk away. I know. I mean, he was brilliant in terms of his hockey knowledge. That's certainly not the question. But I never pictured him getting into the media at all. In fact, he took a very circuitous route to start working for TSN up in Canada. He's got a great personality, always had. But it still surprises me a little bit that he ended up going into the media, because I know that he was one of those guys that I can't say he was uncooperative with media people, but I do know that he really didn't give a lot of writers the time of day when he was a player, especially when he was struggling. So to see him on the other side, although he's in a commentary role right now, basically on their panel, you know, I guess he'd probably be the most surprising guy to me. But he's done a terrific job there, both in radio and television up in Toronto.
Yeah, he's made a heck of a name for himself, and he's certainly a lot more visible on the airwaves and the TV. So I will ask you perhaps a more difficult question in its vagueness. You know, from less surprising Hurricanes to, of all the Canes that have been here, whether it's on the ice, off the ice, who was your favorite Hurricane for whatever reason?
Oh, favorite Hurricane.
Actually, well, let me go to off the ice, because on the ice it might make it a little bit clearer.
Well, I mean, off the ice, you can't beat the class of Rod Brind'Amour. I mean, to me, you know, it would probably be a virtual tie between him and Ron Francis in terms of off-ice demeanor and things they do quietly in the community and just the kind of people they are off the ice. They're just both wonderful personalities. They love the game. They promote the game. They are just class acts, and one's in the Hall of Fame and one needs to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, Ronnie Francis went in there in 2007, and I'm still waiting for Rod Brindamore to get the call from Toronto because he so deserves it. And I'd say those are probably my two favorite Hurricanes. If, you know, actually, that's a crossover because Ronnie also played for the Oilers, as you know. And, you know, I've had many favorite players in that segment of our franchise's history as well. So, you know, I would have to say, you know, both Brindamore and Francis would be my two favorites.
Yeah, solid picks. I think the folks in this room would absolutely echo that. And Chuck, you mentioned Toronto and the Hockey Hall of Fame, and not sure if all of our listeners know, I believe you are still currently the president of the National Hockey League Broadcasters Association, so that plays into voting, at least for the Elmer Ferguson Award, as we understand it. And we had an interesting conversation with John Forslund over the summer, talking about how, again, a lot of what has been in the Hockey Hall of Fame has been more of your traditional play-by-play guys and your traditional radio guys like yourself. Do you see a point in time in which point the Hockey Hall of Fame with kind of the new modern media of, you know, internet and you know, 1,000 cable channels, when do you feel like the Hockey Hall of Fame may begin to make that switch to maybe recognize some of the faces that are more TV front and center and are less on the radio side?
Well, that's a good point. I didn't know John felt that way. It's actually not true, really, because there are many former television broadcasters in the hall, as there are radio guys. In fact, this year, Sam Rosen of the New York Rangers is going to get the Foster Hewitt Memorial Award. You know, as far as your thing about the digital, the media, that's going to be the Hall of Fame's call. I mean, both the Elmer Ferguson Award for the writer and the Foster Hewitt Memorial Award for the broadcaster, the genesis of it basically came from those two associations working with the Hall of Fame back in the late 70s and try to establish, just as baseball has the Ford Frick Award, I think that basically they're going to have to make the call on if you want to call it ancillary media. I don't know if they're going to ever recognize that, though, in my opinion, because those people come and go. Bloggers come and go. Play-by-play and color people with their hockey clubs are basically there all the time. So if I'm not speaking for the Hall of Fame because it would be their decision, but I think it's going to stay this way for a while because it would be very difficult, you know, from the digital standpoint, for example. Do you count somebody who, say, writes for ESPN.com or any of the hockey clubs' websites? You know, where do you draw the line? And I think the Hockey Hall of Fame is going to have to decide that.
Yeah, it makes for an interesting conversation, and as someone who's so close to it, it's great to hear your opinion, Chuck, and you have been very, very generous with your time this evening. So we want to say, again, thank you very much. You are one of the greatest voices, and as I've said many times, you are the voice of hockey that my son will grow up on and have been such a ambassador for hockey in this region and really been a reason for the growth and something that I know has cemented my love of this game. So again, thank you for everything that you do for this organization, for the Triangle region, and we look forward to hearing your call tomorrow night as the Hurricanes take on the New York Rangers. Any last takeaways for the Caniac Nation, sir?
Well, I'll tell you what, I thank you for those comments. They really warm my heart because I really appreciate every single person that I've ever come in contact with indirectly through the radio, because I always want to have a one-to-one relationship with my listeners, and I am so happy that they appreciate that. Nobody's bigger than the game of hockey. That's the one thing that I come away with and I'd like to say, and for all of us in the broadcast realm, we are just the conduits to the fan. Whether we do television or radio, nobody's more important than anybody else. But we just try to do our job and try to entertain. And we are so glad that people like yourself and your son and the next generation of hockey fans are going to enjoy the Hurricanes in particular and, of course, the NHL in general.
Well, Chuck, thank you again. No one's ever made the words "over the crossbar" sound more beautiful than yours, sir. We do appreciate it. Thanks for joining it. We look forward to hearing you tomorrow night on 99.9 The Fan as the Hurricanes take on the Rangers. We appreciate it, Chuck.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Take care, sir. Chuck freaking Caton.
That was a lot of fun, and I felt bad when we asked the question about TV versus radio guys, because we certainly didn't mean to insinuate that John Forslund was in any way complaining. It was a conversation that we had with Forslund about things that we've heard from others who are smarter than us about the induction of TV versus radio guys.
Right. And we did have a chance to speak to Chuck a little bit after the conversation and kind of straighten out the confusion there a little bit. Cause we meant to infer, nothing, on either Mr. Forslund or Mr. Caton, because we love those guys.
And we didn't want to lead to any fights in the concourse.
Yeah. Because I mean, Hell in a Cell, Chuck Caton versus John Forslund.
Ooh.
Chuck's coming out of that thing unscathed, right? I mean,
Chuck is, I think, the Finley of the broadcast team. He just seems like a solid guy who knows how to bar fight.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great... Okay, so all right, so let's go down this path. I like where this is going.
Okay.
You have a chance to choose anybody from the Hurricanes broadcast team to be your... bar fight brother. Are you choosing Chuck?
I think, okay, so there's a few caveats here. One, okay. Who are we fighting? Is it anyone in particular or just Joe bar patron?
We are fighting, drunken frat guy.
Oh, okay, because if it was Damian Cox, I was taking Maniscalco. And is Maniscalco included?
Maniscalco is included.
I think I still got to lean to Chuck, though. Chuck is kind of like if you crossed Finley with Mike from Breaking Bad.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen Breaking Bad. I don't think you have.
A couple episodes.
But yeah, I think I got to go with Chuck. I would say no offense to Trip, but I'm not taking Trip.
See, that's where I think Trip was a goalie. Trip is the... So of all of these guys, you know, the two athletes are Shane and Trip.
God, I forgot about Shane.
Shane.
And we've seen what he does to a golf ball. Right. Good Lord.
But Shane's got a bad melon. So if we're going down this path, I think I might go.
Taking him in a bar fight tournament. It's just one bar fight.
Maybe there's more.
Oh, my God. I really want to get a bar fight bracket.
Can we get the entire Hurricanes broadcast team to just join us for an afternoon of bum fights? I mean, is that where we're going?
Yep.
No, but I think I'm gonna go completely opposite you, Derek, and I think I want to go Trip because, you know, I'm big, I can wrestle, I can get a guy down, but a guy like Trip has great reflexes, and that's always been my problem. Like when you get into a tussle with somebody, like, you know, I'm fairly decent size and I've mm-hmm. got a decent amount of girth I can push around, but it's these smaller guys who have just the amazing reflexes, plus with all of the product and Trip's hair, no one's ever locking in a headlock on that guy.
That's a good point too. I hadn't thought about that.
So he's just sliding right out of that headlock.
Yeah, I'm still not taking him. I'm gonna stick
Trip.
With Chuck. Okay.
So in the finals bracket, it's Trip versus Chuck. I'm still going Chuck, but
yeah, I don't think you have a choice in that one.
No, but this one someplace odd quickly.
It did.
But that's what happens when we are this excited for opening night, which will be happening, I guess, by the time you listen to this tonight. So we hope you are listening to this maybe in the parking lot, maybe playing it at your tailgate, as we begin to take on the New York Rangers. So, Derek, what should we expect out of this? What changes do you want to see Bill Peters make for this hockey club? Because Bill had an interesting interview today where he said there was things we had to change. There's things we had to get better at. We had to refine our identity. He said he was going to change lineups, but he would not commit to any specifics. So if you were Bill Peters filling up the lineup chart tomorrow, what changes are you making?
Eddie Lax in net.
Ooh.
Yeah, come on.
Shocker.
Yeah, not at all. I'd like to see PDG back in there. Let's see what he's got. And I think since Skinner's going to slot back in, I think that's three good changes. I think the other thing that I want to see, and it's not so much a lineup thing, and Chuck alluded to it a little bit, is just get a better commitment from the team on defense, but especially the defenseman, of playing your damn position. There's just been too many times where they're both, you know, either defenseman is floating too far outside or one doesn't seem to know where the other is. And I don't know if it's just individual commitment to positional hockey or if it's just not paying attention to where your defensive partner is. But I would like to see more of that. And I think that will also help whoever is in net tomorrow night.
I think the one thing I want to see is I want to see Slavin and Pesci as the number one pair consistently throughout the game.
Okay.
They are our best pair right now. As much as our boy Noah freaking Hanifin, I've enjoyed him. He has looked a bit lost out there. Noah Hanifin needs somebody strong to play with. I want to see Noah Hanifin playing with Justin Falk.
On the second pair, I assume.
On the second pair. And then Hainsey and whatever warm body they put him with.
Dalbec or
whether it be Dalbec
Nicklottel.
Or Nicklottel. Let's see how that flows. But I want to see those top two pair come together, because that literally is the future of this Carolina Hurricanes franchise. So So let's focus on that. I agree with you that PDG has to be in, because this team plays better with PDG.
And obviously Ferk is sitting.
Ferk is sitting. All of the way sitting. Stahlberg played well, as he could have, but God, he made some stupid penalties over the last couple of games. Particularly that Detroit game. You know, there was a couple of, you know, let's call them questionable hits.
Yeah, but at least he didn't bounce somebody's head off the boards like a basketball.
Yeah, that's good. But it'll be good to get that that producing top line back together. I like how Aho and Stahl are playing together. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see that stay together. And I want to see Brian Bickell on the ice a little bit more. I think Brian Bickell potentially could bring a little bit of something to this club. So maybe that third line is Lindholm, Bickell, Teravainen.
That could be kind of fun. Let Teravainen skate around, be crafty and creative and quick with the puck.
And Brian Bickell could be planted firmly in front of the net with his fat ass.
Yep.
And then, you know, that still leaves some offense and some hitting down there on that fourth line, because then you've got Stahlberg, McClement, and PDG.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. So those are some of the changes I think I'd like to see. But then again, I'm not a hockey coach. I don't know if any of these things will ever come. But if they all come true and we do win tomorrow night, I am taking 100% complete credit.
I think that's fair.
Good. What else are we doing tomorrow, Derek? Or today, as we should
say. Well, we're doing a little bit of tailgating.
Oh, yes. The tailgate. So, guys, hopefully you caught this on last week's podcast, but we have invited all of you, our loyal listeners, to come out to the Section 328 tailgate. Join us in the parking lot. We'll be in the 2000 lot. If you were to go find the east entrance of the PNC Arena, you would take that entrance all the way out to the road that circles PNC, and we will be in the grass lots there. We will be the drunken guys wearing Section 328 merch. Buy the merch.
Buy the merch.
And we will have cornhole. We will have tacos. We will have beverages. Come on by, introduce yourself, say hi, and just hang out with us for a little while. Have a blast. That's one of the things that makes Carolina Hurricanes hockey special, is the fact of it is a real big family out there, and tomorrow is like homecoming.
Cannot wait.
Yeah, can't say enough nice things. We're recording this podcast. It is about 10 o'clock on Thursday night. The trucks will be loaded and moving out from the 328 Worldwide headquarters by 11:30 to be set up in our spots by noon. So that way we can tailgate for a solid 7 hours prior to puck drop.
I'm pretty sure that 9 out of 10 doctors do not recommend tailgating for 7 hours.
Probably not. Unless you go to school in Alabama. But it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. Mm-hmm. We look forward to seeing you guys out there. If you do go out there and tailgate again, we would encourage you to tailgate responsibly. Don't get so hammered that you don't make it into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And also, make friends with Rangers fans. You know, they are as excited for the return of hockey as we are. And while some of them may be drunken and belligerent, make some friends in the parking lot. You never know when you may need one of those Rangers fans to kind of have your back when a real asshole Rangers fan wants to say nasty things to you after the game. So make some friends. You know, invite them over. You know, tell them that, you know, you're still mad that Stefan Matteau ruined the greatest chant in all of hockey, which was 1940. And but that's okay. Congratulations to you and your guys. You have the most attractive man in the National Hockey League. And you too can commiserate with us with the fact that the guy who also wore number 12 for you last season was basically a worthless bag of dicks.
Well said.
Dude, more than well said. That was phenomenally said. That was poetic.
Yeah.
Shakespeare just sent me a tweet, said, hey, man, nice verbiage.
You mean Queen Elizabeth I?
Yeah.
We're getting our classic literature hot takes.
Oh, gracious. Go. What else do you have, Derek?
I've got some cheat mail questions fired up. I don't know where we are in the rundown, but I was just trying to stay ahead of the game
here.
We've
been rambling on for quite some time. Let's go to the cheat mail.
Cheat All right. Mail, it's been a point of discussion.
Cheat mail. This is where we go to cheat mail. Sorry, guy, Derek. We need a cheat mail theme song.
Okay. We'll take your submissions.
Okay. Yeah, write a cheat mail theme song. Or Ranger Rick, just send us something off of your Casio piano.
Love it either way. So we've talked about it a little bit on the podcast, but we can just quickly and succinctly answer this question from Kaniac Chef. Shout out to Kaniac Chef for the wing recipe that is on our website. It was fantastic. This question is, who's to blame? Crappy goaltending or sloppy defensive zone play?
Yes. All of it. All of the above. I'm going to blame crappy goaltending because that's what I've done for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to ruin the narrative, but I believe crappy goaltending and soft goals have led to the fact that this team realizes it has to try to push and can't be comfortable with a 3-0 or a 4-1 lead, and they feel like they have to get another couple of goals because they know that the goaltender is still going to let in yet another soft goal or two, and they want to get as much pad as possible when the goaltender does decide to have said meltdown. So I change it. It is not yes. It is not both. It is not yes. It is crappy goaltending. Always blame crappy goaltending.
That is the correct answer.
Yes. Let's see. Let's continue to go here to cheat mail.
I've got another one fired up.
Yeah, please go ahead.
This is from Doug T. at Buntard.
I love Buntard.
As our de facto cheerleading section, thank you, Doug, have you or would you consider publishing a suggested cheer chant guide for the arena?
You know, Doug, that's quite well timed. If you actually go over to the blog, section328.com, actually this week we republished the chants and cheers section that talks everything about the cheaters never win. It talks about the goalie chant, talks about the whole mind thing. So you can find out a lot of the cheats and the cheers over there. We are working on potentially trying to bring in, let's call them, a few more soccer style chants this year. Maybe ones of the Icelandic variety. We just have to figure out if we can get approval to bring in a giant drum.
I don't think they would allow us to bring in a giant drum.
I'm planning on trying to rent a giant drum in the morning, Derek. I'm just saying that right now. So if the folks at the Hurricanes front office are listening, I'm still fat.
Yeah,
I put on that 100 pounds again in the last week, and that's just my fat ass going through the door, not a small drum hidden under my shirt.
Pay no attention to the fact he's wearing a giantdrum.com shirt.
So great question there from our good friend Buntard. This one from Jackson Brooks. Who should we trade for a goalie?
Hmm?
He said, who should we trade for a goalie? And Derek, another question, this was asked two or three times, is what goalie should we be trading for?
So smarter hockey people than I may roast me for this, but I don't think getting elite goaltending is the skeleton key that it once was. You know, to win a Stanley Cup, for the most part, you had to have a Wah, a Brodeur, Jonathan Quick when he was playing out of his mind for a while. I think you need average to above average goaltending, and wherever you fall in that 1 through 15, you know, more power to you. So I don't know that we need to go trading for a goalie necessarily, but I don't know who's out there to be picked, but I don't want to get locked into a big goalie contract is really my thing. And going out and trading for an upper tier netminder would put us in that position. So that's my long-winded cop-out answer.
So your cop-out answer is stay with what we've got.
No, it's not stay with what we've got, but I don't.
Anton Hudobin is currently hurt.
Right. I didn't want him back anyway.
Oh, okay. I love that big pumpkin-headed
great personality, but not as outstanding in net. Do you have any answers on that one, Mike?
You know what? Until earlier tonight, my answer was trade either Hayden Fleury or Roland McEwen and a high draft pick for Ben Bishop. But then I saw Ben Bishop's stats, and Ben Bishop, while currently 3-1, has an .885 save percentage.
It's not good.
And is letting in, I think, 3.84 goals a game.
His teeth have a 1,000 save percentage.
They do. Well, the ones that are left.
Mm-hmm.
But 3.84 and .885 aren't going to help this team make the playoffs.
Okay.
So, maybe we wait for Ben Bishop, and if he continues to have those numbers, we see what he does with a Carolina team where we can get him on the cheap. Maybe we're trading someone like Ryan Murphy for a Ben Bishop.
I kind of forgot Ryan Murphy was a thing.
Ryan Murphy's going to be coming back off of IR, hopefully here in the next couple of weeks, and the Hurricanes are going to have a decisions they have to make with either Murphy or Nicklaudl or Dahlbeck.
Interesting.
One of those guys is going to have to hit waivers.
Interesting. This one from friend of the podcast, Will Looper.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know that there's a correct answer for this, Mike, so let's see how you do. Will asks, why did I get kicked out of Home Depot for trying to shoot a fan-made version of Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball?
There is a correct answer. Two words. Pantsless Looper.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think we can beat that answer. Yeah. Well done.
Derek, another question. One of the better Twitter handles, K to the RL, Carl Kooks. Who shows more emotion, the Terminator or Victor Rask?
You know, I think I've seen Victor Rask smile by accident, so I'm gonna go with Victor Rask. But if it was the T2000, I'd go with the T2000.
Good call.
Or T1000, whichever one, the dude that could like melt into liquid metal and then reform. That guy has more emotion than Victor Rask.
Got it.
So holla at me, Terminator nerds.
And Derek, I think this will wrap up cheat mail for the evening. This is, again, good friend, Emil Bronis, Bruiser365. Is beer cheese best served hot, like Victor Rask's start, or cold, like Cam Ward's glove hand?
I have never had cold beer cheese.
I'm assuming it's going to be like a ball of beer cheese that you would like dip with crackers.
I could see that, but just I've never had it. I've had many a beer cheese dip, notably the Thirsty Monk in Asheville. Phenomenal beer cheese dip. Place also serves a pint of bacon, so that's just fun.
I almost choked.
Yeah, it's a pint of bacon, but the beer cheese. I'm gonna go hot like Victor Rask's start.
Victor Rask's start is everything I've ever wanted. Cam Ward's glove hand has brought me more angina and stomach aches than I care to admit. So I will agree with you, and we will again not have a hot take on this one. But
related note, the hotness that is at Cam Ward's glove on Twitter. I don't know who you are that started that account, but you seem to know wrestling. You seem to pander to us quite well, which I appreciate the hell out of, and the jokes are good. So I don't know who you are. If you know us, fantastic. Reveal thyself, or just show up to the tailgate. We'd love to say hello to one of our new favorite Twitter accounts.
Yes, and better yet, if you could show up dressed up as a giant glove hand,
that'd be good.
That would be phenomenal,
dude. If he works at Arby's.
Oh, shut up. Shut up right there. Just let it go. Damn it, now I'm thinking Arby's. Gosh, I has that brought us to the everybody's favorite portion of the podcast, Eric?
I think it has.
It's drinking time.
All right. So tonight, against my better judgment, I'm drinking a beer from Michigan. This is the Java Stout from Bell's. It's gotten a little cooler lately, and you know, sometimes
stout.
Even I can burn out on hoppy beers, and I just kind of want to mix it up. So this is a good Java Stout from a really good brewery in Michigan, and however, their choice of blue font on a blue background makes it really tough to read, but this says this Java Stout uses a fresh custom blend of coffee roasted locally for them by so-and-so place in Kalamazoo that I've never heard of. It's dark and roasty. This stout matches intense flavor with an unmistakable aromatic punch. This beer is also 7.5% alcohol, so it's not too high for a coffee stout, but it's on the warmer side of things, and it has a good coffee aroma. Obviously, a beer like this, the closer it gets to room temperature, you know, ideally I'd say 55 degrees, good wine cellar temperature, that's when you'll get a lot more of the aromas and the flavors out of this beer. I think it certainly passes the honored Mike Flanagan how much light passes through it test.
No light.
No light whatsoever. But yeah, I mean, it's got that good roasty aroma they talk about. The flavor is nice. I get some coffee. I get some good, like, chocolatey malts and roast out of it. And it's a nice, smooth finish. Everything about this beer is good. I can't think of anything about this beer that is great. And with so many...
So it's basically like the whole state of Michigan.
Well, no. No. Because Flint isn't good. I realize that's kind of kicking a city while they're down, and I feel bad about it as soon as I said it. Yuck. But, you know, it happened. Well, way to bring the show down, Mike. But there's so many good coffee stouts that are out there. Hell, the Burial Skillet Donut Stout applies. And hell, the Hidden Pipe Coffee Porter. I know it's not a stout, but it's another good coffee beer that's made right here in Raleigh. Phenomenal stuff. This beer is good. If you want to get a sixer of a coffee stout for about $10, go for it. But I wouldn't go out of my way to get this beer.
Okay.
Thumbs in the middle.
Thumbs in the... Okay. That's acceptable. You know, probably not something we'll be drinking at the tailgate, because at the tailgate tomorrow, we are going to need a low-alcohol, high-quantity beer. We're going to be drinking most likely what beer drinkers drink when they don't drink beer.
Coors Light.
Coors Light. I, on the other hand, I'm still off of the beer bandwagon. So here in front of me this evening, I actually have an interesting... Something I would not generally sip. I have tequila.
Go on.
This is from Avion. This is Avion Tequila. And when a lot of the advertisements, if you hear, particularly Howard Stern used to advertise them a lot, where they say you don't have to do a bunch of stuff to it. You can actually just take this, throw an ice cube in it, and sip it like you would a whiskey. And I was like, no way. Maybe. Maybe.
Yes, there's good sipping tequila.
Yeah, this is actually really good. So I would say... You know, normally you get that tequila. It's like and you get the reminders of, you know, that sophomore year in college where you did that thing that you're not really proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And this does not invoke any of those memories. You chill this down, take a couple of nice sips of it. It does have that, you know, you get that agave taste. You get that nice, you know, the nice alcohol burn of it. But in terms of just if you like tequila, I would think this is something that would be very highly rated on your palate. This is something that if you do want to make margaritas or a nice tequila-based drink, don't use sour mix. Use just a little squeeze of orange, a little squeeze of lime.
Now, would tequila of that quality be overkill for margarita, though?
No, because I've had this tequila and just used, you know, like the juice of a lime, the juice of an orange, and a splash of triple sec, and it is
okay.
Phenomenal.
Fair enough.
But yeah, fresh juice is really the key. So if you're looking for something where you're going to not only get hammered at your tailgate, but probably make poor decisions afterwards, I would highly encourage you to go out and pick up a bottle of Avion Tequila before tomorrow's tailgate. Bring it with you. Hell, bring it by the Section 328 tailgate and share it, because I'm pretty sure this was the last of the bottle that was here in the house.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
There you go. Derek, I think that brings us to the end of the podcast before opening night. I defer the microphones to you, sir. What do you wish to get off your chest before we wrap up this podcast, load up the trucks, and at maybe 11:30 at night, go ahead and roll out to the PNC parking lots and begin tailgating at midnight? I mean, because the Alan Jackson concert is over, right?
Oh, God, here's hoping. I don't know that I really have anything I want to get off my chest. I'm just genuinely excited to see a regular season hockey game where the standings matter. And to be back in the building with all the friends and folks that sit around us. And I'm just hyped, Mike. I'm ready.
I'm hyped. And I'm hyped about two things. Tomorrow on the blog, we're actually going to be talking about something very special, near and dear to our and some of our listeners' hearts. We do have a friend of the podcast and a loyal Hurricane fan who has started a very difficult battle against cancer. And he and his family have hit rough times. So some of us in the Caniac Nation are kind of banding together. What we're doing is we're going to be throwing a special Section 328 charity tailgate coming up on November 12th when we have, I believe the Capitals are in town that night. It is a Saturday.
Saturday night game.
So it'll be 2 weeks from this Saturday. We are actually selling tickets to the tailgate. They will be $10. We are not making any money. We are actually having all the food donated. The food is being donated by our friends over at Ruckus Pizza. So they are going to bring out pizza and pasta and wings for us, and they are going to feed everybody. Our good friends at Trophy have donated a keg of beer, and they are going to make sure everybody has a beer. So all of these $10 are going to be donations directly to the family to help pay their bills as they battle through just this absolutely horrible disease. Not only that, if you don't have tickets for the game or you want to buy tickets for the game, we have teamed up with the Carolina Hurricanes for a special fundraiser where you're going to be able to purchase group tickets at a special rate. And then a portion of each ticket purchased will also go to the family. At the tailgate, we're going to have a cornhole tournament. We're hoping to have a couple of special guest appearances at the cornhole. We're also going to be having a raffle. We're going to be having a silent auction. You're going to be able to win things like team signed six and some very rare memorabilia that all of us have in our collection that basically we are putting on the auction block to attempt to sell and raffle and auction off to raise some money for a great family. So if you haven't seen that announcement yet, that will be up on the blog tomorrow by the time we leave for the tailgate. So I would encourage you to go over to Section 328. All the links will be there on how to register and get your tickets for the tailgate, how to get your raffle tickets in the event you're not going to be there, or how to just donate to the family. But we would highly encourage you and welcome you that if you could help out a friend of the Caniac Nation, someone who actually ran a sheet of ice here in Raleigh for years and years that a lot of people may not know, who was a person behind the scenes over at the Raleigh Iceplex and provided a sheet of ice for probably your kids for years. So we're trying to do what's right and get stuff around to him. Not to end the podcast on a low note, because this is a high note, because we are doing something awesome for somebody, and there is nothing better than helping out your fellow Caniacs. That's why we do this every week, guys, because we want to connect with you, our friends, our family, the Caniac Nation, and there is no better way to do it than tomorrow night. Fill the damn PNC Arena. Scream your lungs out. Join us at 6:15 in the East Lot if you can't make the tailgate, because we will be doing the Jaeger Pass, and it is something special to behold. So we love you guys. I love you, Derek, and we love hockey. Thank you for joining us here tonight. We will see you and your fat asses tomorrow at the PNC Arena. Until then, my name's Mike.
This is Derek.
And we are out of here.